This is Free Talk Live. You can dial on in toll free here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can also Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's me, Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
Lots of stuff to talk about, including another update on the Philando Castile case. We'll hold that one off here for a little bit because we've been all Philando all the time for the last two shows. It's a pretty outrageous case, and it's not quite... There's a little more to be said about it, Mark, and you're going to share some of that with us here coming up.
I think it's an enlightening case in many cases, too.
Not for the victim's family, but they're the ones
The victim's family got $3 million today.
Really?
They feel a little enlightened.
From whom?
Well, did they, or is the appeal over? Because that's really when you get the money, not when the trial...
It's my understanding they settled a civil case.
Oh, that's interesting, because I didn't know they'd even filed a civil case yet.
Well, there you go.
Okay, because this story here from June 21st at NPR says that they're planning to file a federal civil
lawsuit. Heard it on the news this morning. I don't know what to tell you.
Amazing. That's really fast settlement from the city in that case. So yeah, we can talk more about that. And also on the way here, we're going to talk about the TSA searching through your bags if we get the chance, and obedience training on how to deal with the police. Melanie's going to tell us about that happening in New Jersey public schools. But Mark, you had a court case of interest, or I guess a case that actually didn't move forward. The Supreme Court turned down hearing a case that had to do with California gun control restrictions. Is that right?
Yeah, I've got it right here from the New York Times. The old gray lady. Supreme Court turns down a case on carrying guns in public.
And when they do that, that means the lower court decision stands.
Yes. I got this actually from a Democrat jumping up and down very happy today on Facebook.
All right.
Wee! There's some place that people can't carry guns. Yippee! Some place that's far more violent than the state that I live in.
Now, wait a minute. Isn't this the Supreme Court with the judge that Donald Trump appointed with this, you know, hullabaloo about how Trump's going to change the face of the Supreme Court? I mean, it sounds to me like they're ruling in favor of gun control.
I'm not sure if that if Gorsuch was able to make a vote in this.
Well, are they even full yet? I'm not sure. I haven't really been following that.
Okay.
But, so much for a sea change, the supposed change under the Supreme Court.
Yeah, Donald Trump didn't make a difference immediately for me. I hate him. What kind of noise are you making over there? You don't even make any sense.
I'm referring to the fact that Donald, you know, these people who are the Trump supporters seem to think that Donald Trump was somehow going to bring some sort of significant change to Washington,
D.C. But you don't
D.C.
know if Gorsuch has yet been,
I don't care.
Put on the Supreme Court, and you don't know if he had an opportunity to vote
on this. Expecting Trump to do magic is a little bit unreasonable.
Yeah.
Expecting him to not do a lot of the things that he's done is entirely reasonable. But if his appointee hasn't actually been seated yet, there's nothing he can do to change the rulings of the Supreme Court.
Right. Trump sucks as a president. Your statement makes no sense. These two statements really don't intersect. Going on, Washington, the Supreme Court on Monday declined to hear a Second Amendment challenge to a California law that places strict limits on carrying guns in public. As is their custom, the justices gave no reason for deciding not to hear the case.
Which means they don't have to vote on it either, right? It's just a decision.
It's a decision, but I don't know how it's come to. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the justices decide whether they're going to hear a case or not. I would presume that's a vote, too. I don't know.
They vote. What their reasons are, unless they publish them, we don't know, when they're not allowed to talk about. Even on cases they do publish, they're not allowed to talk about their conversations about it. But it's a vote as to whether or not to take the case. So if it's 4-4... If there is a vacancy and it's 4-4, the case doesn't get heard.
Interesting.
Okay. And there was a vacancy until recently. Mm. The court has turned away numerous Second Amendment cases in the recent years to the frustration of gun rights groups and some conservative justices. Justice Clarence Thomas, joined by Justice Neil Gorsuch, dissented. There you go, Ian. It's not Donald Trump's fault.
Okay.
The court refused to hear the case. Justice Thomas wrote, reflects a distressing trend.
I wasn't saying it was Donald Trump's fault, by the way. I was just pointing out that there's this big deal about Donald Trump going in there, so he's going to change everything up, and looks like the Supreme Court's still ruling in favor of gun control.
To be fair, fair to him, he never promised, I'm going to get into office and do black magic.
Right.
He promised he that he would do certain things.
What's he supposed to do? Walk in with a garrote and strangle the other eight justices? I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about, Ian. Yes, elections have consequences, but those elections do not sweep away everything that's been done prior to that in this particular constitutional republic.
Apparently, his guy was seated back in April.
There you go. So
right, but he dissented, right?
His guy dissented.
Yeah, so he dissented. Right. So
it was an 7-2.
Right. But it wasn't even close. It wasn't even a close
right,
vote.
But you can only appoint people when somebody dies. Yeah. I mean, there's like, you're being kind of ridiculous.
This is dumb. Going on, the court's refusal to hear the case, Justice Thomas wrote, reflects a distressing trend. The treatment of the Second Amendment is a disfavored right. For those of, and that's exactly right. It is showing up as a disfavored right. In this circumstance, basically California has decided, no, you cannot open carry a firearm. And let's not forget, the Constitution still says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That, to me, sounds like an infringement. Further, they have also made it very difficult to get a concealed carry permit. That also sounds like an infringement.
Well, if you do manage to get one, it's only valid in your county.
In California.
Yeah. For those of us who work in marbled halls guarded constantly by a vigilant and dedicated police force, Thomas wrote, that guarantees the Second Amendment might seem antiquated and superfluous, but the framers made a clear choice. They reserved it to all Americans, the right to keep and bear arms for self-defense. I do not think that we should stand by idly while a state denies its citizens that right, particularly when their very lives may depend on it. The court has seldom addressed the scope of a Second Amendment rights. In 2008, the District of Columbia v. Heller case, Supreme Court ruled that the Second Amendment protects an individual to keep guns at home for self-defense, which is a pretty narrow ruling, but, you know, certainly something. Since then, the court has said little else about what other laws may violate the Second Amendment. In the lower courts, very few challenges to gun control laws since the Heller decision have succeeded. But legal experts say that it is only a matter of time before the court confronts the question of whether and how the Second Amendment applies outside the home. The case of Peruta v. California concerned a state law that essentially bans carrying of guns openly in public and allows carrying concealed weapons only if applicants can demonstrate good cause. So the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed unless you can show you can't show good cause.
Mm-hmm.
Challengers, several individuals, and gun rights groups sued San Diego and Yolo counties, saying that, if I mispronounce that, please forgive me, that officials were there interpreted good cause so narrowly as to make it impossible to carry guns in public for self-defense. San Diego, for instance, defined good cause to require proof that the applicant was in harm's way, adding that simply fearing for one's personal safety alone was not considered good cause. In a 7-4 ruling, the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, also known as the Ninth Circus, in San Francisco, said there was no Second Amendment right to carry a concealed weapon.
Hmm.
So the right to keep and bear arms concealed can be infringed, according to the Ninth Circuit Court.
And that's what the Supreme Court basically upheld by not hearing the
case. And I'm pretty sure that open carry is illegal in California, period.
That's what Mark said,
Yeah, as I understand, you can at one point you could open carry long guns, but not handguns. But then again, this is not legal advice. I really don't know.
Right,
I
but, say, but saying point. That you can infringe the right to carry concealed, if you're not allowed to carry openly ever, it's like, well, so
no
there's nothing left.
Right. I just don't really understand how these people get their jobs when they can't read. I just don't get it.
The interpretation.
How do you interpret shall not be infringed as anything but shall not be infringed?
Well, because their job is not to enforce the Constitution. Their job is to classify the Federal Reserve.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals' job isn't to protect the Constitution?
That might be what they run around saying their job is, but they're not hired on that basis. They're not retained on that basis. That's not what they're paid for.
They're hired on the basis of, are they going to protect the state? Are they going to uphold the laws of the state as valid more often than not? More coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. You can join. Free Talk Live. You can dial on in toll free here. Bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got Skype, and you can Skype in here at username lrn.fm. Tonight with you, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
Also, I do want to let you know about Bitcoin.com. You go to Bitcoin.com and you can get some great information from their news site, the latest on what's happening in the Bitcoin universe. But if you're brand new to Bitcoin, Bitcoin.com is an excellent place to go because you can get the basics on what Bitcoin is. What is this amazing decentralized cryptocurrency? If you don't know anything about it, there's no better place to start than Bitcoin.com. If you're old school, you've been around for a long time, you'll get the latest news. You can play games with your Bitcoin. You can learn even more about it. You can connect with others on the Bitcoin.com forum. Just go to Bitcoin.com to get started there. As we're talking about a Supreme Court decision to not decide, in this case, this decision to not decide means that they've decided in favor of the lower court, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that has basically upheld the California restrictions on carrying guns. And there's quite a few restrictions on carrying guns. Mark, you'd gone over some of it briefly just a moment ago. You cannot open carry, you said.
That's right.
You also...
A handgun.
Can you open carry a long gun, or did they close that loophole?
I don't know.
So again, we're not attorneys. This is not legal advice. If you actually want to know what the law is in California, you probably should do some research because I'm sure it's much more, you know, nuanced than what we're giving you over here. But it is a very, very restrictive place. So we knew a guy who had a gun, but he was only able to keep it at home in California. Like you couldn't take it out somewhere. And they said they would grant permits based on, what was it, necessity? What was the legal term that...
Basically, if you were in harm's way. Okay. Like right now.
So maybe you could convince them to, you know, give you a permit. They'll give permits usually to like people like armored truck drivers and folks like that. But the average folks have a very, very difficult time in a place like California. Now, so the Supreme Court rejected this particular case, which means that the lower court ruling stands. And it was a 7-2 decision, which, you know, I was pointing out that, you know, Donald Trump obviously hasn't changed the makeup of the Supreme Court significantly.
In fact, they haven't all died yet.
Well, right. You guys were saying that I wasn't making any sense. The point I was trying to make was that the people who supported Donald Trump seemed to think that he was going to come in there with, you know, and clean house and somehow tip the scales of the Supreme Court. That Supreme Court's going to need to be tipped way further.
Well, he
it was
is going to, because if you look at the ages of the Supreme Court, he's going to appoint one, mm-hmm. probably two, and possibly three.
He's going to need three to tip that vote, because you got a 7-2 vote. That's, you know, most you're going to still need to flip three of them to get a majority, right?
Ian, there are certainly some people who are utter mouth-breathing ignoramuses that voted for Donald Trump. Just as many voted on the other side for Clinton.
Sure.
But those people simply don't understand how the system works. You need to appoint more than one Supreme Court justice. Let's not forget the Republicans held over a slot, mm-hmm. that Trump filled. No justice has resigned nor died.
What they have to do.
Right. Well, yeah. Donald Trump isn't responsible for killing justices.
I'm not saying he is. I'm
well,
saying that he's
kind of what it sounds like you're
saying. Maybe I'm miscommunicating because it's clear I'm not getting through. I'm saying
he's
not flipping.
Let me try to communicate what you're trying to say.
Yeah. No, well, he's not flipping
the sides. Ladies and gentlemen of America, voting for one president one time does not solve all problems. Duh. Go on.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I was saying was that by appointing one of these Supreme Court people, he hasn't even come close to flipping this court to being in any way pro-gun rights. He's got a long way to go, and it's not likely that in the next 3 years, three of them are going to die or retire. It's not likely.
Well, the numbers
are
actually...
Well, one of them's going to die, because one of them's 83. Ginsburg is, I think, 83.
Okay. And, but she's a female, and females tend to live longer than males.
Yeah, so as all you have to do is type in ages and ages of Supreme Court justices, the second option, mm-hmm. You know, they're right
here. Do they
here.
Usually die or do they usually retire?
They retire. I mean, they do it strategically because most of them are smart enough. And a lot of people were calling on Ginsburg to retire when Obama was still in office so that she when the next, you know, because no guarantee of a Democratic president next.
But she didn't do it. She wanted to hold on to the power. Presumably.
So, yeah, so they'll usually do it if they think
Ginsburg is 84.
I understand that. But what she's pointing out is she did not resign strategically. When you say strategically, you mean politically strategically. So the Democrats would have been able to appoint her replacement for life.
Usually they, you know, kind of base it. If they do retire, they retire strategically. I mean, otherwise,
so she's planning to die.
You're God
in the U.S.,
you're not
going
to retire.
Well, she's hoping probably to live so that she
another
can make it at least 3.5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to her. And let's not forget the Republicans are unlikely to be able to make an appointment in the last year of Trump's reign, if that's his first, before the election in 2020. But
one of my grandmothers made it into her 90s, and she's dead now, but the other one also made it into her 90s.
That's really
certainly
great.
Possible.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, would you bank the future of the history on?
I didn't. Nobody said that.
Bank the future of, you know, a third of a continent on you living to 90 just for like bragging rights? I mean, because I'm kind of glad she is because it works well for us. But that's what she's doing.
So Kennedy, the conservative justice that always votes, that often votes with the liberals,
and that's how he voted on this one, right?
Well, yeah, yes, he would.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that any of those people voted with the liberals. Definitively on this.
Well, there was seven people who voted to not hear the case.
So we don't know why.
Right, but we don't know why.
Seven people voted to not hear the case.
And they're not going
to maybe
write,
they're voting to not hear the case because they want Ruth Bader Ginsburg to kick the bucket before they hear the next case.
Yeah, I mean, because they're not going to write an opinion on their own and say, I am deciding to not hear this case because I am waiting for Ruth Bader Ginsburg to die.
Sure.
And then I think we should take this case up. They're not going to do that.
But they can't take the case up after that because it's over.
They can take up some other case.
Okay. Which may not be the exact same circumstances, but nonetheless.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be a gun case sometime within the next 8 years.
Gotcha.
20 years.
But for now,
whatever.
The California law stands.
It does.
Yeah. Right, but
not
if they had taken it, there's no guarantee.
You pretty much did.
No, I didn't.
There's no guarantee that if they had taken it,
why are we having this long conversation trying to convince
putting words in my mouth?
Headed a-hole that this
you don't have to convince me of anything.
I'm not trying to convince you of anything.
Well,
I'm
then
not
why are you keep going with
it anymore? Because what you said was dumb. I called it dumb, and I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
Would you like to go on with doing a talk show about something besides, but I said this and I said that and blah, 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 blah?
Yeah,
just
we were
boring.
Doing that, Mark. You're the one who's bringing it down.
Well, I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah, and I just pointed out that you completely misinterpreted what I said. You said you thought I was going to like give Donald Trump credit for something, and I'm not. So anyway.
Because we don't have, I mean, Scalia, the one thing he was good on is gun rights. There is not, even the conservative, the allegedly conservative justices that we have left, there's not too many of them that I would put money on will definitely vote the right way on something like that. So waiting for another Trump appointee for gun rights is something I might do if I was...
If you were one of his people, you mean?
If I was on the Supreme Court.
Gotcha. Toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Take control of the airwaves here. This is Free Talk Live. We've also got Skype. Skype username is lrn.fm.
Tired of spending hours hunting down the day's essential political news and views? Let Tom and Steve at Rational Review News Digest do it for you. Visit rationalreview.com for free, hand-curated news, commentary, and audio and video content. Choose from web, social media, and once-daily email editions. We've been the Freedom Movement's daily newspaper since 1991. Come find out why at rationalreview.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want right here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
Also, do want to let you know about HealthExcellenceSelect.com. You can get a medical information card from Health Excellence Select that you can give to EMS, first responders, the emergency room, or whatever medical professional that you want. You can go to HealthExcellenceSelect.com and learn about how they can actually give you freedom from health insurance. You don't have to have health insurance, even though the government wants you to think that you do. HealthExcellenceSelect.com. They'll give you a proactive health assessment daily, as well as no charge 24-hour access to doctors, including traditional, integrative, chiropractic, acupuncture, and massage. You'll love the service and the price over at healthexcellenceselect.com. Let's talk to Nick in Madison, Wisconsin. Nick, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Melanie and Mark. Hello? Nick in Madison. Nick going once? Nick going twice in Madison? We're going to put Nick back on hold here. Maybe there's some technical difficulties over at our network studios as we were discussing a news story from, what was it, NPR, Mark? Where was this one coming from?
This is New York Times the gun law one. Yeah.
That was saying that the Supreme Court has rejected hearing this case regarding the unconstitutional California gun laws, which of course means that they are backing up the lower court's decision. Now, as Melanie pointed out, we don't know what the reasons were why the court voted 7-2.
I might have done that banking on the fact that Ginsburg is going to die.
You're saying that if you were on the court as a judge,
right, and we're all going to die.
You may
Ginsburg,
have
just like
well, but that she's
going to
die sometime within the next 7 years, 8 years.
I just don't want to be sitting at the trial next year where Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies and from a gunshot wound, and poor Melanie's on trial and with a voice recording of Ruth Bader Ginsburg is gonna die. I just want to make sure
clarify
exactly what we're talking about here. Everybody is gonna die.
She's 84.
Now, obviously, every vote in the Supreme Court goes down party lines, but what is the current
split?
Right, but
she is going to...
She's
going to
vote against gun rights.
She's going to vote for gun control.
So, but what is the current split? Does anybody know offhand of
it
the nine?
It should be 5-4 conservative, but,
Well, that's a little oversimplified, too.
It is very oversimplified.
Sometimes you'll get judges who are really conservative on one thing and really liberal on something else.
Yep.
Scalia was good on guns, not so much on really anything else.
So what you're saying is even though it's 5-4 conservative, it's still too close for comfort. You'd rather wait until
It's not 5-4 conservative, as in it's not like five, NRA, not even NRA because they're kind of liberal, It's not five anarchists and four socialists.
Right.
It's... they're normies.
They're status. Yeah. They're people who love the government. That's why they're in the positions that they're in. Every now and then they'll come down with a correct decision that, that goes against state increasing power. But it's very rare.
If I had to guess, there's four solid votes. This is just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Four solid votes for,
if you go ahead, it's kind of like hiding in the corner until you have a clear shot. If you go ahead and you miss... If you don't have five people, you just screwed yourself in the future.
Right.
They can overturn their own decisions.
But not as easily.
Not like 4 years later, Ian.
Really?
That's just not done. So,
that's been done once in the history of ever.
The overturn?
What was that?
Overturning the Supreme Court, overturning themselves.
Is that Dred
Only
Scott?
Once? I was thinking Dred Scott.
The
Plessy
Civil War
Ferguson?
Was in between
okay.
or after Dred Scott. They overturned one of their own cases once. They've
you
gone
mean the
against
same court?
Their cases. Yeah.
You mean the same makeup court overturned its own case?
Yes.
So not a later court. Got it. Because, that's happened more than once,
right?
Other courts down the line.
If it's the same people, most of them are going to survive. Most of them are fairly young. They're in their 50s and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, the same people are not going to rule differently on the same issue. That's pretty rare in any situation. Not just the Supreme Court and not just courts. Mm-hmm. That's just people.
Yeah, they want to take their shot, and they want to take that shot well aimed, is what my guess would be.
Okay, all right. Well, that kind of explains a little bit better why there was such a divergent.
But it's a crappy decision, nonetheless. I think that it's Free Talk Live's job to point out, hey, the Supreme Court made a bad decision.
Well, see, I don't know if they did it
for a strategic reason.
Even from a pragmatic standpoint, that's not true. From a lawful, neutral standpoint, that's not true either. Because from a strategic standpoint, it's like sometimes the ACLU decides not to represent people because they want a clear shot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You have no duty to defend others. And one of the reasons why you have no duty to defend others is because you have limited resources,
right. And
you have to decide where they're best sent.
Yep.
And, it kind of sucks that you can't help everybody, but you can't. And this guy is going to, go to jail for however long he's going to go to jail for, and no one has a clear enough shot to save them. Maybe they could have saved him. And that's, you know, yeah, it's a horrible thing that happened. But if you cannot save him and then wait, you know, 6 years and save, you know,
other people,
200 million people, I mean, that's the decision. Yeah, I don't want to be making decisions like that all day, but I think that's the right decision.
But Melanie, we're here because the Supreme Court's made bad decisions up to this point.
We are here?
Yeah, we.
What do you mean?
We, the subjects of the United States government, are here at this point where we have to ask the Supreme Court if the state of the People's Republic of California can tell people in a country where the highest law in the land says shall not be infringed regarding the right to keep and bear arms, can in fact infringe the right to keep and bear arms. Like, that's the Supreme Court's fault in the first place.
Right.
I understand it's not this court's fault, but it is the court's fault.
I mean, all the way back to Madison versus Mayberry, that might have been the worst decision in the history of,
the United States government.
We're
not as educated as
right.
you are.
Madison v. Marbury pretty much ruled that the Supreme Court has the right and the duty to interpret the Constitution, which nowhere in the actual Constitution does it say that that's their job. But
gee, what a surprise. They voted themselves more authority.
The appellate jurisdiction that is given to the Supreme Court in the Constitution, and the fact that jurors are allowed to judge the law as well as judging guilt or innocence, therefore gives, I'm sure that this is in the Madison v. Mayberry ruling, but that therefore gives the Supreme Court, in fact, veto power over laws that exist. I mean, from a constitutional standpoint, I tend to agree with it, even if it's not written in. It just seems like sort of the natural course of things.
Right, but that's a different thing than I'm allowed to interpret the Constitution. So then they still wouldn't be able to rule, even if they had some kind of, you know, version of jury nullification, if they had Supreme Court nullification.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
That's fine, but that does not mean you can go and create things like the Commerce Clause.
Well, I never considered the power of the Supreme Court to interpret the Constitution so much as the power to interpret the constitutionality of a given law.
Right, and that I would say that every court kind of has, at least under legal theory, because the Constitution is.
But they won't even hear. Most courts won't even hear the word Constitution in their courtroom. They don't want to hear it.
They're that perverse at this point.
Yeah, they are that perverse.
Let's try Nick again here. I think we've got his line cleared up in Madison. Nick, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we have you now. Go ahead.
Awesome. Great. I just wanted to talk about gun rights you were talking about a little earlier.
Sure.
Here's what gets me. It's like, you know, first of all, I don't own any guns. I don't. I know a lot of people do, but I don't. But I think gun rights are important. And if you think that people say that Democrats, I have a lot of friends in Madison State, they don't want to take away your guns. And then they voted for President Obama, who said that Australia had a good policy.
Let's talk more. Can you hang on, Nick? I want to bring you back here. Make sure you get a chance to say what you're driving at. More with Nick in Madison on gun rights. You're welcome to join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. It's Free Talk Live. Yeah. It is Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us here on the radio. Or you can bring up anything that you want. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And Skype on in here. It's Skype username lrn.fm. Tonight with you in the studio, you've got Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
So we're going to continue with your phone calls and thoughts, but I do want to let you know about the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And it's a way for you to help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations around the country and bring more internet listeners on board, exposing new people to the ideas of freedom. You go to amp.freetalklive.com, ampamp.freetalklive.com. You'll get perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only podcast, the AMP-only Facebook group, the AMP badge on the new Free Talk Live forum. You can get all of that over at amp.freetalklive.com for $5 a month with Bitcoin or credit card or PayPal. ampamp.freetalklive.com. Nick is in Madison, Wisconsin. You were talking about some of your neighbors and friends and their beliefs, college students up there, their beliefs on gun control, and go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, not me. I mean, I'm 40 years old. I mean, I'm well beyond college, but I'm talking about people who have, like I said, I don't own guns, but a lot of my friends and family do. And
okay,
that's
I'm
fine.
Sorry. I thought you'd mentioned something about college students up there in the last segment. I apologize.
Oh, no. What I was saying is that when I was talking about with one of my friends, and he said that, you know, Obama's not trying to take your gun. And I don't think he was, but the thing is, he flat out said he supported the Australian policy.
And what is that?
That was taking guns. That was,
I mean, this is pretty much the only country where you can
have buyback policy. It was a mandatory buyback policy.
Yeah, I think that the liberals saying, ha ha, see, Obama hasn't taken the guns yet, was pretty disingenuous, because if Barack Obama had had a bill sitting on his desk that said, we will take the guns by force to every American that has one, he'd have signed it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. But didn't the assault weapons ban expire during the Obama administration?
Ian.
No, that expired well before. That expired during the Bush administration.
I don't know when it expired, but presidents don't make law.
No,
it
I understand that.
It doesn't matter whether it expired, sunsetted or not under his administration. The Republicans were in power most of his administration.
Mm-hmm. But they signed law, and that's the thing.
That's true.
So, I mean, all I'm trying to say is, like, you know, if, you know, like I said, I don't own any guns. I've never owned any guns, you know, but I've shot a lot of guns, but I don't own any. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if people do, law-abiding people. But, you know, if you're going to tell me that you don't want to take my gun, don't support a policy of taking guns, which is what Obama did.
Yep, apparently right. The assault weapons ban expired in September of 2004. I don't know why I thought 2012 or something was the year for that, but anyway.
Maybe something did.
Oh, that's why I didn't know what you were talking about, because it expired
in
when 2004. I turned 18. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, 2012, 2004, I mean, it all melds together for me. So, Nick, anything else you want to share tonight?
No, it's all good. You guys go ahead. That's all I wanted to share.
Thanks for sharing. I appreciate your call and thoughts here. And the toll-free number, if you want to join us, is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733.
So, you know, for me, if I could go down on record on this one, is like, look, I don't think that every person in America should be able to carry a gun. However, that's what the Constitution says.
Okay.
So I'm going to presume the Constitution applies to adults, and therefore that it would, you know, start at 18, because that's
when
you can
vote. Can't you legally carry as a teenager who's not an adult in New Hampshire if you've been given the gun?
Under New Hampshire law, yes. That has nothing to do with federal law.
I think that's new, though, because at one point since I've been here, I remember the Travises. The youngest Travis had to carry a knife up until his 18th birthday or 16th birthday or something like that.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, New Hampshire has no age restrictions on open carry. You still have to be 21. I think you still have to be 21 to conceal carry.
Even under constitutional carry?
I think so. I could be wrong about that, but I think it is. But regardless of that, there are some federal laws that make that a little bit shady, so if you do it in your state and your state's pretty pro-gun, you'll probably be okay. But it's kind of like, you know, weed in Colorado. If the feds decide to bust you, you are done.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know more about age restrictions, because I think it was probably, according to NH.gov and Google, license holders must be 21 years of age or older. But if it's legal to open carry as somebody under the age of 21, then in theory, if it's now legal to conceal carry without a license,
well, that's not how bills work. The law, it would apply to whatever restrictions that they put in that bill. And I read it when they passed it, but I haven't read it
since
then.
It's been a while. Okay. If you want to join us here, our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. So coming up here tonight, it's obedience training time for students in New Jersey public schools. Melanie, you've got a story that is going to be indoctrinating students more so than, I guess, on average, because they're pretty much, I mean, every school has...
Well, I don't know about more so, but just in a new and different way this time.
They have a class specifically to inform students of how to be obedient to the police?
It's not a class. It's a bill that they're proposing to, and I have the language of the bill, basically to teach students that they have to respect cops.
Right, so let's force people to respect others, because that always works, right? That doesn't build any resentment whatsoever.
Right,
when you
so
force
it would,
people to respect
public
others.
Schools would be required to have curriculum. It doesn't have to be. This doesn't say that it has to be its own class. This is assembly number 1114 in New Jersey.
So it could be part of government class. I remember I had a class called government.
Right.
When I was in high school.
So it doesn't specify how it has to be taught, but it would require them to teach students to, quote, on interacting with law enforcement in a manner marked by mutual cooperation and respect. So not only is this wrong, because for reasons that are obvious to people like me, I guess, it's also illegal because we have this thing called the First Amendment.
Sure.
And
you should be able to be however you want to be towards the police, although it may or may not help you.
But the First Amendment's as meaningful as the Second Amendment, right? I mean,
it should be.
The First Amendment has a little bit more actually still there than the Second.
Well, I mean, they haven't torn it apart, but the First Amendment has the right to freedom of speech, but the Second Amendment has the right to keep and bear arms. Mm-hmm. Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. I can't read the First Amendment. I've got it in front of my hand, but I don't have my reading glasses. But I'm sure that maybe there's some terminology like shall not be infringed in it. I don't know the answer to that.
Congress shall make no law.
Congress shall make no law. There you go.
Yeah, so you can't even make a law about free speech.
Abridging the freedom of speech or the press. Or the right of peaceable assembly.
So you can make a law about carrying weapons, but you can't infringe the right to keep and bear arms?
I'm not saying that that's a useful distinction, but, I mean, that's what the paper
says.
I'm not even saying that's what it should be. To me, the Second Amendment is more important than the First Amendment, but if we're going to have, state-enforced rights, then the Second Amendment is... to be the most important one that you could possibly have, because without that, you don't have anything else.
Yeah, I'm interested in learning more. I know you're going to share more from whatever news story you might have here, but I think this is a tacit admission by the state of New Jersey that all of their indoctrinating, their pro-police indoctrination that they do early on in schools, because there's all kinds of pro-cop indoctrination that goes on from as early as elementary school, that it's an abject failure, that they have failed at creating the respect that they demand, that they're now demanding, saying that, look, kids, now you're in high school and you still haven't learned to respect these police, so now we're going to tell you better respect them or else. The police haven't earned their respect, so now they're just trying to force them to respect the police, and it's not going to work either.
Right, and to me, this kind of feel, and maybe this is me being biased, but to me, this feels
probably
like, oh no, we have too many kids getting shot by cops, let's do something about it, and then rather than train the police, we're going to try to train the kids to not get shot, instead of training police not to throw grenades on infants.
They do have a 13-year indoctrination program, why shouldn't they use it?
They right? are.
Like, what do they have, what do they have government schools for, if not... to indoctrinate.
Well, right, but it's because you have already 13 years of indoctrination, you now have to have a special curriculum and have a statute to mandate a special curriculum of, we still don't have our stuff together. Now, okay, we're having a specific how not to get shot by the police
class. If you need any more proof that the government is the most inefficient type of organization out there, the fact that they have a 13-year indoctrination program during your most formative years and fail to properly indoctrinate you just goes to show they are a bunch of dummies.
855-450-FREE, like freedom, join us on the radio. This is Free Talk Live. Hour 2 is coming up.
Bitcoin.com is the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. Buying Bitcoin? Do it here. Want to speak your mind to other Bitcoin users? Our forum is always open and censorship free at forum.bitcoin.com. There's no bigger Bitcoin believers than the Bitcoin.com team. That's why this site is a one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. You can also play games at games.bitcoin.com. Learn more at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Dial toll free and bring up anything you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
We were just discussing a story, Melanie, that you wanted to share with us tonight. We hadn't even gotten into it in the last segment, but it's basically about New Jersey, which is one of the least free states of all of the 50 states. I believe it ranked in at number 46 in this year's Freedom in the 50 States.
It's in the bottom five.
Study. So yeah, not a great place to live if you care about freedom. And it's also noteworthy or notorious as one of the most corrupt states, where the police are just bad. I mean, they are just, you talk to people that live in New Jersey and have experience with the police, and they generally don't have nice things to say. The cops are there, they're known for corruption, they're there, you know, known for just being thugs, and some of the worst cops. So it's no surprise that teenagers might not have any respect for them, especially when the police are going around arresting their buddies for things like, you know, possession of a plant or of a drink. You know, these are the things that teenagers are frequently targeted for by the police in states all across the United States. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why there's not much respect for cops, because the cops, they honestly haven't earned it. Just because you're wearing a badge, just because you're wearing a pressed uniform, doesn't mean that you get respect automatically. And that's basically, you know, and again, I haven't heard the story yet, but from where, do you recall the source on this story that...
NBC.
NBC News is saying there's going to be some sort of law that has been proposed there that would require schools to do respect training, basically.
Right.
Can you tell us more?
So it was and it's still a bill. It hasn't been passed yet, or at least it hasn't on the 22nd, and I couldn't find anything that said it was. So okay. I don't think it is. They would have to teach kids from kindergarten through 12th grade, and it's unclear as to whether it's a whole class or whether this is incorporated into some other class. There's going to be some committee that sorts out the details. But to teach kids to respect cops and respect and cooperate cops, that's also probably a Fourth Amendment violation as well as a First Amendment violation.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, you don't have any requirement to.
I'm sorry, not a fourth, a fifth.
Self-incrimination.
Yeah,
what you're talking about there. Okay, gotcha.
So yeah, so
right. It's, so if you cooperate to the point of you getting arrested, then you have done their job for them.
After
right.
You have been informed that you should do so in your government indoctrination class.
Yeah.
Right, so, and they stopped just short of saying that they were training kids not to get shot instead of training all, because you can disrespect anybody else, and whether or not you should is a separate argument. You don't usually get shot for disrespecting people who don't have badges.
Well,
generally not.
I'm of the opinion you should not run around flipping birds at anyone, including police officers.
I tend to agree. It's very uncouth.
Yelling, you know, epithets and these sorts of things. And that if you do, you are liable to receive negative consequences. However, a professional law enforcement officer understands that, you know, people disrespecting them is them using their First Amendment rights.
Yeah, it kind of comes with the job. I mean, the parking meters, even before any of y'all got here, had the signed statement saying, you know, basically getting told off as part of our job. I mean, so cops kind of need to realize this. I mean, especially if they're going around attacking people. But
yeah, you got to be professional. And
also, as cops have this really different concept of what they think respect is. Most people, when they say that they want respect, are talking about being treated as a human being, right. Not being unnecessarily being mean to.
Not being obeyed.
Right, whereas cops are like, if you're not worshiping them, then you're being disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And those are two very different standards.
I wouldn't propose to speak for police officers and what they think. Considering
they think different things. They're individuals.
There are lots of them. Yeah. I will tell you that there is a huge phalanx of mind-numbed myrmidons on Facebook that essentially believe that you need to lay down your coat for every officer that wanders by, those sorts of things. Once they find out I'm a firefighter, it really befuddles them because they're not. Which one of them must I worship more? Right? Like, I get that that's a problem, but ultimately, all of us are government bureaucrats, right? We work for a bureau. That bureau may or may not be police or firefighter or whatever that bureau might be. And we've got all kinds of rules, and those rules tie the hands. And when they you use discretion, and when that discretion is contrary to the law, you should have to face the consequences. That's it. They're not – people who work for the government aren't special at all. Even if those people carry hoses or guns.
They have a shiny badge.
I'm sure I could get a badge.
They have the ability to shoot someone and get away with it, so that by definition does make them special. Don't you think?
I think that's how it's come come across.
I get what you're saying. They're still human beings. Their S smells too, right?
Well, right, they're but just like us. So when I was working at Walmart, if someone disrespected me, I do not then get to shoot their dog and no. beat them down in the aisle.
No, and you shouldn't even
because
be nasty
I, and,
to them.
And I shouldn't.
Right.
And whether or not they should tell me something mean is completely irrelevant to how I should respond.
Right.
To
I worked
it.
In retail as well, and you've got to keep a smile on your face. You've got to stay professional. When the
cops don't even have to do that. They don't have to be nice and friendly and smiley. No. They just have to not shoot you.
That's all you're
That's
asking
a pretty
for.
Pretty low standard. Right.
But customer service, they're not about that, because you're not their customer. You're their victim. You're not their master. You're their servant. And that's the way they look at it. You're their subject. They even use that term to describe you. Listen to their two-way radios.
I don't think they think you're the servant. I think that they think you're the subject.
Yeah. Exactly. So if you want to join us here, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. What else do we need to know about this story?
So a couple of quotes that I find interesting, I guess, from the bill's sponsor, Sheila Olivia said, and she comes really close to admitting the actual purpose of the bill.
Okay.
She says, the number of police-related shootings around the nation have created a mistrust of police in many communities. This can help rebuild the trust that is essential for law enforcement to work.
Look, we shouldn't lower the amount of police shootings. The United States is the highest in the Western world of police shootings, doubling Canada's, which is second, I believe. I mean, there was more police shootings of citizens in the U.S. this year than there was in Great Britain in the 20th century. Admittedly, Great Britain doesn't have the population the United States does, but it's not that kind of disparity.
What about per capita, though?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Iceland. Iceland's had one shooting since its inception as a nation.
Right, and didn't they hold a funeral for the victim?
Well, the police came to the funeral, and they were sort of genuinely upset. The guy totally deserved shooting, too. Right?
Whereas the cops, they giving each other high fives when they shoot somebody here. They party.
Yeah,
and they get bonuses.
It depends.
And when
this
I first heard that those
Philando.
Cops went to that funeral, I was kind of like, well, that's highly inappropriate and kind of Westboro of them. But then it had to be explained to me, because I'm me, that no, the cops were like actually upset that they had to shoot somebody. They weren't going to like protest the funeral,
right.
as would be the case here. They were like actually sad about it. And from what I heard about this guy, he was actually being a present danger to everyone around him. And there was, it was the right decision.
If right. Police make lots of good shoots in the United States, but they make lots and lots and lots of shoots.
Well, right, but if you just go around shooting everybody, you're going to just by
get it right
your
sometimes.
Chance. Yeah.
So, the Philando Castile, the guy who shot that, Yanez, Officer Geronimo Yanez.
Yes.
If there was no video, he would still have his job. His department would be defending him up and down. he would probably get a promotion because
I think all that's a safe bet.
Yeah,
yep.
It's a safe bet because that's what's happened in so many of these cases where these cops, where there's no video, there might just be witnesses, but right. That doesn't matter because police, you know, the police are believed far right. more often than any witnesses.
If there's no video that that shows a cop to be guilty, he's innocent. If there's no video that that shows you to be innocent, you're guilty.
And they'll get a promotion.
Justice in America.
And at a minimum, yeah.
And they'll get a little bit of time off, paid leave while the case is investigated and ultimately decided in their favor. More coming up here in moments. You can share your thoughts. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can dial on in here toll free at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. If you want to help build a better financial system for everyone, you need to join Dash. Dash is digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, private, and easy. Fees are low, and transactions are fast and can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. It's Dash. It's decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the Dash network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash. Learn why at Dash.org.
I was looking at dashforcenews.org today, mm-hmm. and there was a story about Evan Duffield, who's like, you know,
the founder of Dash.
He's released a master Dash plan, including mass market level scaling. Mm-hmm. It's a great story and sort of shows where they're intending to take Dash. And they're pretty much succeeded in doing the things that they've said they were going to do up to this point. And that's just pretty powerful.
Yep, I've been impressed with what I've seen so far out of Dash, and that was before they signed on as a sponsor of this program.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dave. He's in New Hampshire, and we can talk more about obedience training for high school students when it comes to dealing with the police. But Dave, you're on Free Talk Live first. Go ahead.
Yeah, speaking of the police, there was an incident in New Hampshire which I think in a way is newsworthy more for its frequency than for its rareness, and that was the police on the seacoast arrested a man for driving under suspension. And his girlfriend claims that he had no real way of knowing that he was under suspension.
Happens
and
a lot, right?
So he had, I beg your pardon?
That happens a lot, right?
My understanding, I mean, maybe you guys know more, but is it actually possible to determine your, I mean, can you call around and find out that, yeah, you need to turn yourself in, or yeah, you owe a fine, or yeah, your driver's license is suspended and you need to take this action to fix it, or do you just have to drive around until you get arrested?
A lot of times people don't find out until they get arrested, but yes, you could in theory call the DMV and ask them for your driver's status, but you know, how often does somebody even think to do something like that? They do generally send a notice to you upon your license being suspended. But a lot of people will move without updating an address or whatever, or you know, just for whatever reason, the notice just never, the physical piece of paper just never makes it into their hands, so they have no idea. I didn't find out. I remember once, it was right around Derek J's victimless crime spree time, when Officer Pelequin here in Keene saw me, we were doing a protest outside of one of the schools here, and he saw me and actually came up to me and did me the favor of letting me know that my license had been suspended. He didn't have to. He could have sat there on the street and waited till I got in the car and drove away and then pulled me over and, you know, got me for it. So
why do you hate police, Ian?
I don't.
Well, police are nice to Ian because they know that he'll talk good about them.
Right. That's the thing is that police...
I'm never going to have police be nice to me, but it's worth it in my opinion.
It can happen, Melanie.
People call on a regular basis and tell Ian and I that we hate police. And the fact that a police officer will do Ian the solid of coming up and saying, hey, man, your license is suspended. I hope I don't end up seeing you in a car.
Yeah.
Is pretty telling as to how police that interact with Ian in real life feel about
that's
him.
A little bit of respect, right?
Right? And that was more of a joke than anything else. Yeah. I've actually not had a problem with police in New Hampshire. Even when I mean, I've done things in New Hampshire that would have got me shot in Louisiana.
Yeah, me too, man.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't know how you're alive. You stood in front of a cop car.
Oh, that was the easier one. I was a little more worried about getting into somebody's car when he got pulled over. It was right outside of the college here in Keene. Somebody had gotten pulled over, and the cops were talking to him. And when the cop walked away from the car after he'd gotten his license or whatever... I talked to the dude, and the dude let me get into the cab with him. And that one, I was just wondering how the police were going to respond, given that.
Yeah, they're still cops, and you know whether they do it for strategic reasons or not. I haven't had a problem with them as far as doing things illegally.
Sometimes just getting out of a car could get you have a gun drawn on you in some places, but that's never happened to me.
The Supreme Court kind of backed themselves into a corner in that, though, because they keep insisting that passengers of pulled over cars are not being detained. And if you're not being detained, you can walk your happy self down the road.
I was threatened with a disorderly conduct charge if I did not get back into a car.
And they didn't for a reason.
But what do police know?
Well, no, I got back in the car.
What do police know about Supreme Court rulings?
Nothing.
Nearly nothing.
Right. They just do what they want, and then they get away with it.
That's, you know, I mean, it's funny. We call them law enforcement officers, but they don't enforce the law.
Oh, and no, a caveat to that is if they're doing a, quote, investigation, and they order people to stay in a specific place for safety reasons, they can pretty much do that. But until they tell you not to, you're not being detained. You can go walk to McDonald's, do whatever you want.
Yeah, I tried, man. I think I was on a suspended sentence at that time, so I really wasn't interested in pushing that particular issue. So I did get back in the car after protesting verbally, but that was about as far as I could push that one. Now, Dave Ridley, I was surprised we didn't see you up at Shire Fest or Somalia Fest this last week.
Oh, I don't know. After you've been to the first 7 Pork Fests, they start to all kind of seem the same.
I see.
So I don't go to every one. I think I went to the one in 2014. It's probably the last one. In a couple of years, I'll start missing it probably.
Okay. Well, it's, Shire Fest is not Pork Fest. It is probably more like Pork Fest originally was, with, you know, no centralized control or bureaucracy to, you know, make decisions or make bad decisions in that case. So it was much more just people camping and kind of having fun and hanging out.
Making their own bad decisions.
I don't know. I would say people there were doing fine. Anyway, Dave, anything else you want to share tonight?
My theory is sort of that free staters do a sufficient amount of partying. We don't need to do any more partying to be free.
You get them, Dave.
We should be besieging,
you're darn right.
Besieging the authorities.
Yeah, well, I am with you, and you know, I think we need to get more doers and fewer partiers to move up here, but. You know, once a year campground festival, I don't think is uncalled
for. Yeah, if they would do that instead of all the other stuff.
Instead of every day.
Yeah, party for a week instead of, you know.
Right. And the important thing about these freedom festivals that happen in New Hampshire is to attract people from outside. That's really the purpose, because any of us can go camping anytime we want. But, you know, to have a special event where people from elsewhere can come and have an excuse to come visit New Hampshire and feel what it's like to be around people who care about freedom, you know, more people than they could possibly know. I think that's what the real goal of these festivals is, and it's nice to see that that there are some competing festivals out there now with Pork Fest. I would call it friendly competition, but...
I would not call it friendly.
Well, I didn't feel unfriendly towards the folks at Pork Fest.
Yeah, okay, you're not unfriendly towards anyone, Ian. Have you seen some of the posts, especially the first year of Somalia Fest?
No, I don't.
They
I don't
were know. Very not friendly.
Oh, I see. Some of the attendees were, people were kind of butthurt.
I mean, the advertising for Somalia Fest wasn't really that friendly. And I don't really think it necessarily should have been, but, you know.
Dave, did you have more you wanted to share?
Well, yeah, and more of a question. Tell me more about this process of determining your status, because are you sure that you can really do that? Can you really call the DMV and really get a straight answer as to whether your license is suspended?
Moments, we'll answer that coming up. Free talk.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise.
Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free. Join us right here and bring up anything you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we do have Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. Tonight in the studio with you, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
Also, want to let you know about the official wallet of Free Talk Live. That's right, it's Jax. You go to jax.io. You can download it there. From the Google or Apple App Store, JAXX.io. It allows you to hold not just Bitcoin, but also Ether and Dash and a bunch of others. And in fact, they're always it seems like they're always expanding.
Litecoin,
the list.
DAO tokens.
Ethereum Classic.
Gnosis.
The DAO tokens are long gone, Mark. You can't hold those anymore.
Yeah, but aren't they all called DAOs, though?
No. Well, you're talking about the Decentralized Autonomous Organization. They can have other DAOs, and maybe they have created some, but you're talking about this project that happened, last year, where people were trying to join this decentralized organization, and it's like a cryptocurrency thing on the Ethereum blockchain, and all this money was poured into it, all this ether, all this digital currency was poured into this thing, and there were some bad lines of code, which basically created a loophole that somebody who was real smart and, you know, knows how to program went in there and managed to program themselves millions, I think a few million dollars worth of Ether to come right out into his account. And that's actually what ended up leading to the Ethereum split, the blockchain split that created two Ethers. Now there's Ethereum and there's Ethereum Classic as a result of the failure of that decentralized autonomous organization.
Okay, so here I'm looking at the list of wallets that's on my Jax here, and it says Augur Rip tokens and Zcash and Doge and a variety of
Doge. Cool.
Yeah, Gnosis. But it also has the DigiX DAO.
Maybe that's a new thing.
There you go.
Because the old DAO tokens.
That's why I got confused. Is because, you know, I won't claim to know everything about all this cryptocurrency stuff, but there's another DAO.
There you go. All right. Dave is still with us here in New Hampshire. He's Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. You were asking if it's possible to call up the DMV and inquire as to the suspension status of one's account, if you will, or one's license. I believe that it is. Because I know that you can certainly call to pay them to get your suspension to go away.
Oh, you can call them from that?
I think so. I think they'll take a credit card. I could be wrong about that, but I have to say that all things considered, you know, bureaucrats are not known for their customer service, but I've had worse times with bureaucrats than I have the Concord DMV. I remember there was one, and I don't remember all the details, but I do recall having some sort of issue with a suspension being entered wrongfully or something like that, and I was able to successfully escalate my issue to whatever level of management was above the regular phone operators, and they actually resolved the problem for me. So, I didn't expect them to, because I expected bureaucrats are slow and, you know, ignorant or whatever, and they actually surprised me with being able to solve that. So I think that you would have good luck, Dave, but the only way to know for sure is to call in and ask.
Yeah, I guess I will try and do that and maybe report back in what I find out. Of course, that leaves the whole question of whether you have a warrant for your arrest for something else, and whether you can find out that or not.
That's a good question.
You should be able to call the police station and ask.
Correct.
But no.
Some states actually have an online tool that you can use, but I don't believe New Hampshire does.
They might not be integrated, so if you call Concord, they might not know about what Manchester has, and that probably depends on the severity of the charge, but you should be able to call the police department and see what they have.
There you go. Dave,
so
anything
else? That's it.
All right, man. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. That's Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. Great YouTube channel. where folks can go and kind of see what's happening here in New Hampshire and a lot of the cool activism that is going on here, and of course a lot of it that has gone on in the past, because he's been reporting from here for longer than we've been here. And Mark, you and I, we've been here for a long time. We've been here since 2006. I think Dave came up in 03 or 04, one of the earliest movers
yep.
here as part of the ongoing New Hampshire freedom migration. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Now, I don't know if there was more that you wanted to share, Melanie, from that story that you had about New Jersey, where there's a proposed law that would mandate that New Jersey schools, sounds like high schools, would have to implement...
Well, no, kindergarten through 12.
Kindergarten through 12. I missed that detail. So every grade, every year, you'll get a fresh recap on why you should do as the police say and just obey blindly, make sure that, you know, you don't offend the police, and forced students, basically, to respect the police.
The only thing I really wanted to add to that is that there were... some groups of, they were referred to as activists in the story, but who kind of complained about it. And so the bill is amended, and it's not law yet, to include, in addition to teaching you how to respect and cooperate with the police, which is illegal, to also teach you your rights with the police, which surface level seems like a good thing. I think that might... My fear would be that would save it in court.
I wouldn't want the government to teach rights with the police.
Well, yeah, and I don't want them doing it, and so now it looks like it's a more balanced thing than it really is.
You know, kids, you do have a right to remain silent, but you really shouldn't remain silent whenever the police talk
but
to you.
But you don't
you really
even have a right to remain silent anymore. The Supreme Court said that now that police can infer guilt based on your silence, unless you say, I am remaining silent, right. Which is not silence.
Yeah, it's
like,
crazy.
It's just the dumbest thing. You know, the one thing that television has taught us when it comes to cops is that
you have a right to
have the
silent,
right
yeah.
to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford one will
be
appointed
for you.
Yeah.
For
so
you.
Generally speaking, and there are some extreme exceptions to this, but generally speaking, the only thing you should tell a cop is one of three things. Explicitly invoke your right to remain silent. Explicitly invoke your right to an attorney, and there is some weird case law that you have to be really explicit, and you can ask to go to the bathroom. Those are the three things that you should only ever say to a cop.
This is you've been through your law school graduate?
Yes.
This okay. is and if you're being arrested, right?
Because pretty much otherwise, every lawyer will say the same thing.
Because otherwise,
ever.
Another good one is, am I being detained? So if you have not yet been arrested and you'd like to ascertain,
okay, well, yeah, that.
You want if you want to ascertain your status with that
yeah, so
officer.
So if you're not already detained, yeah, and that you should always, if they're starting to tell you to do things, you should always ask if you're being detained mm-hmm. because then they have to either detain you and then
and kind explain
of,
why.
They don't necessarily have to explain why, but that kind of locks them in from there on. So if they didn't have anything good at that point...
Well, they need to have a reasonable, articulable suspicion to detain
right.
you, correct?
I think that's a better a question to ask is that, do you have reasonable, articulable suspicion to detain me? Because what it does...
That sounds more legal, like right, you know your stuff.
Right. Well, it gives that warning to them. Hey, yep. dummy, you're not dealing with another dummy. Right. right? Like, and then they have to, not only when you've set up for the question, do you have reasonable, articulable suspicion, if assuming they know what the word articulable means, then you can say, okay, officer, please articulate that suspicion.
There's a funny scene from The Practice where they get the cop on the stand and they're like, did you have reasonable, and the prosecutor's like, did you have reasonable articulable suspicion at the time when you arrested or detained? Or it's been a couple years since I watched it. You know, the defendant, and he's like, yes. And the defense gets up to cross and they're like, what does articulable mean? And he's like, I don't, and he's like, but you know you had it.
Yeah, I know it when I see it. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Of course, a great website with lots of good information on interacting with the police, which, again, you shouldn't do, is copblock.org. They've got a neat little flyer that we like to hand out around here. It's the Cop Block Warning Flyer, which does go over some tips for when you're being hassled by the cops. Always a good idea to keep your mouth shut. Don't answer any questions unnecessarily. If you have to, if you're driving, you do generally have to show your driver's license and registration, and in some states, the insurance. But you don't have to talk to them while you show them.
In some states, you do have to identify yourself even while walking.
That's true.
And depending on how they ask for it.
But that doesn't mean you have to show them ID. It just means you have to identify yourself.
Some states you do.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. You need to do your own research on those things. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free and bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. The Skype username here is lrn.fm. Tonight with you in the studio, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
Coming up, how many people actually reported Bitcoin to the IRS? Got an interesting story from Fortune magazine.
I hope no one did.
Well, a little more than no one, but not that many. So we'll get into it. I consider this to be very good news. We'll get into that coming up here in moments. And of course, you can share your calls and thoughts with us. Let's go to the phones. To the fun, Joe in West Palm Beach, watching us on YouTube at cam.freetalklive.com. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, first off, I am not watching you on YouTube. You shouldn't lie to your listeners.
Well, that's what it says here in my call screening software. So how are you listening to the show?
I'm not.
Okay.
But I did see you on YouTube. That's what I am calling about. I was watching some videos of you and your crew of cronies this past week on YouTube, and I was shocked at what I saw.
What did you see that was so shocking?
Degenerates that were harassing members of your community to prove a political point, and I was wondering,
what are you referring to? What did you see that was so offensive?
It didn't offend me, I guess. But I saw you chasing around the traffic lady, the parking violation.
The parking attendants. Yeah. Okay. So you saw some footage from Robin Hood of Keene, where
there's a whole bunch of that footage out there, and I can assure you, you didn't see me, and you probably didn't see Melanie. And
I was not here.
Right. So it's the use and what you saw, it gets very difficult to see. So why don't you describe
some of that, though?
Some of it, but not all of it, by any stretch of the imagination. You probably weren't in a
90%
1% of the video that's on the internet regarding traffic, meter maids.
That wasn't really a Free Talk Live thing.
Incorrect.
Yeah. All right, you got me. You got me. Lay it on me, prosecutor. What'd you see?
Incorrect.
Incorrect.
I would like you to address. I am genuinely curious.
No, you're not. You're genuinely being combative.
But go ahead. I want to hear what he has to say. Please. What are you curious about?
You can't be curious and combative. Aren't you some sort of intellectual? You can
curious.
Curious.
No, we're not intellectuals. We're talk show hosts. To it, and combative has a feel to it. I know what I'm hearing.
Sir, I'm wondering, sir, my question is, are you guys receiving government benefits while you guys are doing this? I think you are.
No.
What would the benefit be?
Incorrect! Incorrect, sir!
What government benefit that would you think that?
Well, I drive on the roads that I pay for.
I don't think you. You're Ian Freeman. Right?
No, my name is Mark
Edge.
My name is Mark Edge.
The man screaming at you is Mark Edge.
I pay for my life.
Yeah,
you pay for your life.
Yeah,
Mark Edge. I've never even heard of Mark Edge.
Well, now you have. Now you have.
That's because you called in saying you did this and you did that to three people.
Okay, apparently he was talking to me, so...
Fine. I'm a founder of this radio program.
Yeah, I
started in 2002.
No one's ever heard of Mark Edge. He's so irrelevant, Mark Edge. Dave from New York is much more popular than Mark Edge.
Okay, Joe.
The guy from Poughkeepsie?
I don't buy what you're saying right now, but
right?
Go ahead with, whatever. So you were wondering if if I was on welfare?
Yeah, and I was wondering. I was watching these videos, and you guys, honestly... If you were in my town, I would be so furious at what you guys do.
Why? Do you love parking enforcement?
And what does that have to do with whether or not somebody's on welfare?
Many people would not have the time to do these things because they have full-time
I
jobs.
See.
We're journalists. We're talk show hosts. We have time because we do a show in the evening.
That's why I said I don't think Ian Freeman is on government benefits. I'm sure he makes more money than all of you.
Oh, you were talking about the other. You were saying that you think the other Robin Hooders were on benefits.
You want us to report on every
single...
Many of
them are, would be my guess.
No, yeah, no, not that I'm aware of. I know who those people were.
A single one of them.
Do you make six figures?
Hold on. I know...
Do you make six figures?
Hold on. I know who the Robin Hooders were, and I know that not a single one of them was on benefits. What they were doing was they were actually working for somebody, and they were actually getting paid. So it doesn't sound like you did a whole lot of research, which is fine. It's fine to ask questions about
a situation. I did
not.
I told you I just saw some YouTube videos.
Yeah. So I'm explaining to you that, no, they were not on welfare. They were getting paid hourly for doing that work. I personally wasn't. I would refuse to get paid. I just did it for the, you know, the good of doing it.
Some of that money would come from the people that would send in thank you notes.
That's
and
correct.
Checks and those sorts of things to say.
They'd hand you money on the streets.
Yes, to say thank you for saving us from parking tickets and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so why would it make you mad? Do you love it when you get a parking ticket? Do you think that those people are respectable?
I never get parking tickets.
Do you think
I get parking tickets.
Do you think it's a respectable job to go around and threaten people over parking somewhere?
I think you're intentionally misrepresenting what a parking attendant does.
What
I
do they do?
I don't think they threaten people in that manner. They write tickets.
What do you think
a
ticket is?
It's a little annoying.
The ticket's
you
a threat.
See, this is why why I think you come off so bad in those videos, because you do these little games, and this is not how people act in the real world. It's very unusual.
And how's that working for the real world, by the way?
I don't know about you, but Melanie, you pointed this out here. Hang on a second. We can't talk over each other if we're going to have a conversation. Melanie, you had pointed out earlier regarding the parking – I forget where I was going with that. But anyway, the parking enforcers are issuing threats, and that's what a ticket is. If you don't pay the ticket – there's a consequence behind that. And in some cases they'll tow your car. In some cases, they'll boot your car. It depends on what city that you live in. In Keene, they don't have the boot, but they do tow, and they have towed people before. And they also have the ability to not renew a car's registration if that car has unpaid parking tickets on it. And the reality is, Joe, that this is what you mentioned earlier, Melanie. It was the requirements of the job. As a parking enforcer, one of their requirements is that they have to expect that members of the public, the people that they're victimizing day to day, are going to be upset about that, because people don't like to receive tickets, and they might read them the Riot Act. They might, you know, have a few choice words.
Do you think people that leave their car on the street for an extended period of time are not victimizing others?
They're not leaving their car on the street. They're parking in a parking spot.
And stuff like this. Do you understand that?
No, they don't need to have meters for that. And thank you for the call, Joe. There are cities that don't have parking meters, and they allow the marketplace to come up with solutions as far as, oh, you need more parking? Well, maybe somebody, some entrepreneur, should go ahead and, you know, build a parking garage. And even in some cities, the city government just has decided to let people park and let it all kind of shake out how it needs to. Not every city has parking meters in downtown. Laconia, I believe, is one of the cities where they have barely any in the downtown area. And it's a city that's about the same size of population as Keene, New Hampshire, which is where we are. So a lot of people don't like getting tickets, and this guy claims he's never gotten one, so maybe he's like, you know, 18 or something like that and hasn't been driving for very long. But, you know, most people, the longer you're around, the closer you are to getting one of these things, just because they're hard to avoid. If you are in a downtown area, the people that work downtown, a lot of them loved the Robin Hooders, because the Robin Hooders would regularly save. These are the people who are putting change in expired parking meters downtown. They would regularly save downtown denizens, people who are working or living downtown, from getting multiple parking tickets, you know, every month.
So I have a couple of things to say to Joe. First off, if you want to support the meter maids of the world, by all means, get bunches of tickets.
They'll take your money, absolutely.
Secondly, no, you are not victimizing people by, violating some kind of parking rule. One thing you can tell is that this is about revenue when a person gets a ticket and then there's three spaces next to them that are empty. Okay? And
right.
That happened all the time.
James Cleveland, who was heading up the Robin Hooding for a long while, when it was truly at its peak, when we got the lawsuit from the city of Keene, James, who was an accountant by trade, was running the numbers. He actually got the numbers from the city of Keene about, you know, what the like the fullness count of the meter, you know, the meters were, or the like the spaces, how many of the spaces were filled at any given time throughout the day, how many tickets they were writing, and he found that they are enforcing all day long, even in the lull time. So obviously during lunch it's busy, right? But 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when everybody's pretty much back at work and lunch hour's over, there, that's when you get those open spaces where there's just plenty of parking, yet they're still writing tickets. But the revenue.
But the parking attendants that come at such irregular intervals, you'd think they'd be where they needed to be when things were busy.
Why would you think that?
Well, that would be if that's what they were supposed to be doing.
If indeed they're trying to turn over cars.
Right. And
that's the excuse.
I can tell you that there are all kinds of businesses, shopping malls come to mind, that have parking spaces where, you know, they're unregulated without tickets. But That's only the government needs to have an enforcement arm of little, you know, paid bureaucrats running around and writing tickets.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And the Robin Hooders, by the way, in case you're, you know, just tuning in, you've never heard this story before.
Take that, sir! What ridiculous.
We have, by the way, we won at the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So, free speech wins.
Supreme Court wins, Joe loses.
Yeah, we're coming up here. Hour number three is on the way. Free Talk Live.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy. Fees are low and transactions are confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. Get started at Dash.org. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help us create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org and get your own Dash wallet today. That's Dash.org.
It is Free Talk Live, launching into the third hour of the program. You can join us right here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. And you can Skype on in here. It's Skype username lrn.fm. With you tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. And then a little bit more on the Philando Castile case, which we've been covering quite a bit over the last couple of days here on Free Talk Live. Some excerpts from some recordings of Officer Yanez, the man who shot Philando to death in his car after being pulled over ostensibly for a simple brake light being out. We can tell you more about that coming up here, but let's go to Skype first, where Bad Slave is on the line in New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I just heard this guy called Joe, I guess his name was.
Yeah, the guy that really loves parking enforcement.
Right. He's an idiot, and that's okay.
Well, that's not very nice.
It's not nice.
It's very true.
But that's what he is. Well, let me put it this way. He's an ignoramus.
There you go.
He didn't do the research.
How is that better?
Ignorance can be corrected. Ignorance can be corrected.
I don't think he had much willingness to do so, though.
So, I want to spend a little time with etymology here with my good friend Ian Freeman. okay, so idiot comes from the word id, right?
Okay.
Id is, the Freudian term for sort of a base, your base instincts, right?
Okay.
Do you not know that?
Yeah.
Okay, you can look it up. So there's your ego, and there's your superego, and there's all that right?
Freud.
Okay?
Yeah.
So if one is acting in a base and sort of mean fashion, you can look those words up, and you can come to the definition, but they both, base and mean, are, idiocy. So I think that one can be, acting like an idiot,
Yeah, you can do that and be ignorant at the same time.
Right. So you, no one is in fact an idiot all of the time, except for, you know, idiots. There, no one is ignoramus all of the time.
That's true.
So allowing the term ignoramus and not allowing the term idiot is inconsistent. But
no, I'm pretty consistent at
we are
calling
all
people ignorant.
Idiots. At times, and we are all ignoramuses at times. So okay. Using the term idiot is fair if one acted like an idiot, and that's one's only interaction with a person.
Sure, I get what you're
so,
saying there.
Dude, Joe, idiot. Go on.
That's your opinion.
Slave.
It's a valid opinion.
So here's what happened to him and me, only a little less to him and a little more to me, back when I had Mark and Ian. I don't think you were there, Melody, but maybe you were. I don't know. But I brought up a 9/11 issue at the time, and it was completely
I was not there then.
Yeah, right. It was completely different than what Ian and Mark presumed it was, and I was hoping to go on and say a little more. Only, you know, Ian was on the button, and of course that would have been great if there was somebody in the queue waiting for a call, but the discussion went on for 14 minutes after I was let off the air, and I had a lot to say about what was being talked about, because you went off on attack that I wasn't even going for. And I wanted to bring up some things, and I, you know, you guys, if you're not going to go to the next call, let the previous caller.
No,
you know,
we make decisions based on, you know, the interest level of the hosts in what the caller has to say and how, you know,
obviously,
how long things have gone on, and it's all completely arbitrary.
Obviously, Ian, you were there and you talked for 14 more minutes on the same subject.
Yeah.
So
I think you've got a good point.
No
privilege of doing a talk show.
So you're
do that.
You know, I mean, it's your show. You get to do what you want. Yeah. This is
and you know what really doesn't turn me on is people who complain about the amount of time they get on the air. That's really annoying.
So I'm not complaining about the amount of time.
Sure you are.
I think it's a pretty good critique. So hold on, Bad Slave. You didn't get called names, right? Like, Joe got called names.
I didn't call Joe any
names. Not so much, but I was completely discounted.
You felt unheard.
The ongoing conversation that went on.
Well, the nice thing is we have open phones every night here, and anybody is welcome to call in.
One thing you never get to hear.
Respond quickly.
You never. Before you go on, like, I want to address this. You've made accusations at this point. I'd like to address them. You never get to hear the scoldings I give to Ian in the off air, right? Like, it's not. There's no point in stopping the show most of the time and saying, Ian, you shouldn't do that. But I did in that circumstance. I recall it. I said, Ian, you shouldn't drop the guy and then continue to talk about the issue. And of course, once I do that, that gets Ian all whipped up, and he's going to, of course, continue to talk about it, because that's how Ian does things. But
we talk about things continuously after we drop calls, Mark, because sometimes the calls are boring, and sometimes the person on the other line, and I don't recall this specific example, but frequently, a Bad Slave, you get full segments or more than a full segment to talk. And if,
he gets plenty.
If that's not enough
time
for you, then you need to get your own talk show. Thank you for the call tonight.
On.
I appreciate it.
Did he get a chance to say what he?
I don't care. I don't want to hear people calling to complain about how they didn't get enough time to talk the last time they called. Okay, that's like James in Arizona. That's the kind of stuff that he would do. Look, we've got all kinds of things to talk about here. Talk about something fresh. Talk about something that you're interested in discussing, not how you were treated the last time.
Well, I mean, he said 9/11. That wasn't even, I mean, he's usually pretty good, but he just called us to complain about how you handled a call when I was 14.
No. That was his topic, I think, is what he was saying. He was calling about that particular topic. And that's a topic that I find less than interesting.
Okay.
That is a topic that has been beaten to death on the air here on Free Talk Live. And frequently when we talk about something after the fact, after a caller has been dropped off the air, it's because the conversation wasn't productive by that point. Frequently, callers will repeat themselves, you know, so they have a certain
that
thing.
That is the death knell for a call, yeah. Is repeating yourself.
Right, so a caller frequently has something that they want to say, and they say that thing. And then they will say that thing over and over until you finally end the call. Now, again, like I said, I don't remember the exact circumstances of that call, but I can tell you that Bad Slave is a common complainer. He frequently will complain, not on the air, but, you know, he'll hammer out some message over Skype about how, you know, insulted he is that he didn't get all the time in the world to make all the points that he ever wanted to make on a specific subject. And again, if you don't feel like you got enough time one night, well, guess what? We got open phones the next night. You can call back the next night if you would like to. That's our rule here. You get one call per night, so you don't get to call more than once the same night, but on another night, you can call in again. And some people will call early in the show, and then they'll get upset because they didn't get to respond to something somebody said later on in the show. Maybe that's why so many people call in our third hour. We've always been bewildered as to why, you know, we'll do a show some nights during the week. We'll be on 1 hour one, hour two,
no
get almost no calls or
and
zero calls.
Wall to wall for the hour three.
And it just doesn't, I don't understand why that is. You know, it's certainly true that we have more radio stations on in our third hour, but most of them aren't calling from the radio.
Well,
they're calling from the internet.
Some people are also getting off of work or getting home.
Most people aren't getting off of work at 8 o'clock at night.
Well, it's 8 here.
Okay, I see what you're saying. West Coast.
I have no idea. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to guess.
Yeah. Look, you know, it's a show. You know, we're doing a show first and foremost. And I don't mind explaining, you know, the behind the scenes of how radio works. You're not supposed to do that. It's one of the rules we break here on Free Talk Live. But it's a show. And
one
if it's not
for
entertaining.
Certain, you would never get on to critique the host's call-taking ability on any other radio talk show in America.
No way.
That much is for sure.
Yeah. A lot of shows won't even let you on if you disagree with the host.
Well, we'd have like two people call if we did that. So.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves, which means you can bring up what you want. But if it's boring, or you're boring, or we get tired of the topic, we're going to move on. Sorry, that's how we do radio. Now, if you want to do it differently, get your own show and see if anyone listens. It's Free Talk Live. Yeah. It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll free. Join us here. Bring up anything you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian here.
Melanie.
And Mark.
Coming up, how many people told the IRS about their Bitcoin? There's some numbers that have come out. Actually, it came out earlier this year. It's the first time I've seen it. So we'll share that with you on the way here. Also, the latest, some updates on the Philando Castile case, where apparently it is confirmed what you had said earlier, Mark, that his mother has already gotten a settlement. So even though news media was just as of less than a week ago reporting that they may be filing a civil case, apparently they got their settlement before they even filed it in this case. So $3 million.
Looks like the attorneys walked up and said, how about $3 million? Sign this piece of paper right now.
Yes, ma'am.
Won't be no way problem.
Right. So we can talk about all that. And your calls and thoughts are certainly welcome. Let's talk to Michael. He is on the line. Actually, I don't know where he's calling from. Michael, you're on Skype. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to call in and talk about the Supreme Court, but the last segment got me thinking back to a couple of weeks ago when you guys were talking about banning one caller.
Yes, that's right.
For making some threats, or I don't exactly remember the whole thing, but whatever came of that real quick?
He was banned. Technically, that ban has expired. He was banned for a two-month period of time. You're referring to a caller out of Arizona who has definitely leveled some threats at Mark and Mark's family, and it had gotten to the point where, I mean, I'll put up with a lot from a caller, I really will. But it had gotten to the point where Mark and Daryl were both protesting on the air by refusing to even keep their headphones on during this gentleman's calls. And ultimately, the reason I issued the ban was not because of his threats, but because he just kept calling about the same thing. And we told him, we gave him a warning. We said, look, dude, you need to call about something else besides complaining about what happened the last times you called, because that was kind of all he was doing. Yeah. He was just complaining about how he believed he was treated in the past. And we said, dude, if you can't, you know, change it up, bring some sort of new thing up, then we're going to have to institute a temporary ban.
I would like to address the last caller, Bad Slave's, sort of frustration with being cut off on the air. So when I was down in Florida, I think it was during December, I called in to talk about, I can't remember exactly, something to do with Trump. Can't exactly remember what. And Ian decided for whatever reason to drop me off mid-segment.
We were done with you.
Yeah, right, and move on. Yeah. And you know, like, whatever anyone might feel that they have given to the show, like, you know, creating good radio or in any way, shape, or form, whatever they might feel they've done to do something for the show, it pales in comparison, besides Ian, what I've done for the show, right? So no one can claim to have, you know, greater ownership over the airwaves than I, except for Ian. And Ian decided, for whatever reason, that I was boring in that moment and dropped me. And I didn't like it. I fumed over it a bit. But at the very least, I understand that he has, like I had to come to the realization, he's got a really crappy job because he built this desirable platform to talk on. Yeah. And people want to talk on it, but what he has to do is he has to curate this platform for 160 program directors out there, some number of program directors, and for the thousands of listeners. And you know, like, his decisions may not be great. They may not be right. They may not be whatever, but they are his decisions, and he is the decider in that circumstance. He's the shot caller. He's the shot caller when it comes to who's on the air. And
go ahead, please.
You guys have been doing the radio stuff for years. I've produced morning call-in news radio, news talk radio for several years, and I can just say, haters gonna hate.
So, oh, absolutely. You know, and it really has to do
with that one caller. Everybody's half the host decided to boycott the caller and take off their headphones when they're calling in. You've kind of got to make that decision. Well, if half of my hosts are going to refuse to talk to them, why are we even having this person on the air? Like, people are going to hate the way
that
you
factored
run
into
the show.
It.
People are going to like the way you run the show, but you've been doing this for years. Obviously, you're doing something right to somebody.
Yeah,
so,
it has to. You're right. Hate. I mean, the haters are going to hate, and I'm not saying that Bad Slave's a hater. I think that generally his calls are good.
I think he's a supporter.
I think that generally his calls are good. It's just the attitude, you know, is up to you to choose, right? So do you choose the attitude of, oh man, I didn't get a chance to say everything I wanted to say, does blah, 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 blah. Or do you choose the attitude of, wow, I just got to talk about my 9/11 theories, you know, on national radio on over 100, however many stations happen to be on at this moment. We have over 170 throughout the week, but they're not all on at the same given moment. So on however many dozens of stations happen to have picked that up and everybody listening online, cool. People who, you know, I would otherwise never be able to reach were just able to hear my opinion. So really it just depends on, wow, what a great opportunity. I'll call again sometime. It really just depends on how you want to look at your experience.
Well, speaking of talking about the topics of calling in, I didn't want to talk about that. I did want to talk about the Supreme Court. So
okay.
If you don't mind changing gears.
Yeah, sure.
Well, because this morning I finally got to listen to morning talk radio and was listening to some C-SPAN and their morning call-in show. And the conversation this morning was whether or not the Supreme Court justices should have term limits, because as the Constitution has it now, they're appointed for life. So I was kind of surprised at the amount of supporters for Supreme Court justice term limits. And I was just going to kind of throw that idea out there and see what some of your ideas were on that.
That's a good question. I don't know if we've ever really addressed it.
So I've thought about this already, and I'm against it. And here's the reason is because it's just going to throw more power to the chief executive.
The politics.
Like, so the chief executive, the president of the United States, appoints the Supreme Court justices. If they then know when they cease, then you're constantly having them, you know, calculating as to, okay, we know this one's going and this
political
is going to give us the
process.
Power, these kind of things. Yeah. And, you know, you're taking the most powerful position in the Western world and it's making it slightly more powerful. I want to do things to decentralize that power, not to centralize that power. And that's my reasoning.
What do you think, Melanie?
When people, and this is kind of counterintuitive, I understand that. When people have term limits, they tend to be more political. So they tend to, even if they can't be reelected, which makes no sense, they tend to act more indebted to the person who sat them than they do if they're in there for life, they're good, you can't remove them.
Yeah, I'm the same way, because it seems like if you have term limits, you're going to have a much higher turnover rate when it comes to justices on the Supreme Court. And when you've got a delegating body of 100 people that don't get along, trying to every 2, 3, 4 years, however long the terms would be, having to reconfirm new people, we know exactly from what happened last year how much of a political football that could be. And it just boggled my mind to hear so many people defending that idea. In my mind, thinking, you know, if we're going to have this conversation, why aren't we becoming more serious on members?
What about at a lower level? What about at the, let's say, the state level?
Local
where
prosecutors?
No. Where judges in some states are appointed for life, whereas other judges are regularly reelected in other states. We can continue the discussion here. Thank you, Michael, for bringing it up. I appreciate it. There's more on the way here at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. It's Free Talk Live. There are lots of ways to listen to Free Talk Live. Our podcast has been around since podcasts began, and now the FTL feed is loaded with content besides our full show archives. Did you know that we make it easy for you to customize your podcast subscriptions? We have different feeds, one that includes only our full shows, one with just the Daily Digest, and one with just the Edgington Post. You decide what you listen to. It's quick and easy to customize your feeds at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com. It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free. Bring up what you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. You go to MyPillow.com and use code FTL. You'll get your MyPillow at half price. What is it? It's a great pillow. I brought mine when I was up at the campground.
I forgot mine.
This week. Ooh. Bet you realized it first night, right?
Yeah. Well, I knew it as soon as I saw yours. I'm like, oh God.
Drat.
And then he brought his, and there's nothing you can do, right? You know,
it's too late. Yeah, you're 3 hours away from your house. I mean, it's a darn good pillow, but probably not worth the 6 hours to
round trip. It's not going
to
be that,
trip.
Yeah.
To do that, but MyPillow.com, and I didn't forget it this year. I actually packed it up before I left, and I didn't have to turn back like I did last year to go and get it. I'd driven 20 minutes away from Rogers Campground before I realized, and I did go ahead and turn around for it last year, because it is a great pillow. You don't want to leave it behind once you get used to it. It is designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position. We've been using it here for more than a year, I think, at this point. And some of our hosts, like Chris Friedman on Thursday night, he's a longtime user of the MyPillow. Unlike a regular pillow, you can wash it. You put it in the washer and the dryer. It's designed for that. You go to MyPillow.com, use code FTL, get your MyPillow at half price, or two for the price of one. It's up to you, however you want to look at that. And if you, for whatever reason, decide you don't like it, in the first 60 days, you can send it back to them, and they'll send you your purchase price back. Plus, if you keep it, it's guaranteed to last you for 10 years. Just go to MyPillow.com, use code FTL, like Free Talk Live, code FTL to get your special discount of 50% off.
Totally worth it.
Yep, it's a great pillow. As we go back to, we're going to go back to your calls, but I just wanted to bring up, you know, another sort of a variant on what our last caller had mentioned. Michael was on the line from Skype, and he had talked about, well, what about term limits for the Supreme Court? That was the discussion that was going on when it came to C-SPAN, I guess, this morning he was telling us about, and he was surprised at how many people supported term limits.
It's a great topic, sure. Yeah. And term limits, people like term limits. They sound really, really good.
It sounds like it's going to limit the power of politicians, and I think to some extent it could.
But it doesn't limit the power of Supreme Court justices. Well, how would it?
Yeah. Well, also,
well, I guess it limits their power to decide when their term's up, which is a power I want them to have, because otherwise that power goes to the president.
And it goes to the political process.
The most powerful person on the planet. So, no, I don't want to decentralize power.
I think you guys both made good arguments against term limits for Supreme Court, but I found myself wondering what you thought about, let's say, state-level courts. So in New Hampshire, for instance, the governor appoints judges to different roles here in the state, and none of them are elected.
Mm-hmm.
So in other states, however,
they're elected.
They are elected every so many years. Now, there's an argument against the election of judges in that, you know, the people, they don't know what they're doing. They're going to elect some bad judges. But there might be an argument in favor of term limits at the state level. I'm wondering what you guys think about that.
I mean, I think the same things really apply. If you're going to have a state, which you shouldn't, but if that's where we're at,
yep,
then especially with judges, when they have power to interpret, I guess, at the state level, the state constitution and overturn and enact state laws, it gives you kind of more predictability as to, okay, if I do this, because judges can kind of make things illegal in a lot of cases retroactively. Having senators or legislators get elected once every 2 or 4 years isn't as much of a problem, because their laws they pass have enactment dates. Even if it's today, if you stop doing it now, then you're okay. That's not necessarily the case with judges. So I kind of feel like it gives you that predictability that...
What gives you that?
Having
if
them
they're
in
there for life?
For life or for some longer term.
So you're thinking all judges at all levels might be in for life?
Trial judges, not really, especially since a lot of them kind of try to get promoted from there. I mean, and then obviously they could resign if they were going on to do something else. I mean, it seems better to, especially when you have elections that are just get ridiculous. It seems better to me. They're doing the same thing as the Supreme Court, just on a state level instead of a federal level. I mean, there's pros and cons, I think, but based on what I've seen, I would rather them not be as beholden to whoever it is.
The electorate?
Either the electorate or whoever appoints them or whoever it's going to be.
I mean, the electorate could vote in worse judges than we currently have, but ultimately, if you've got a bunch of terrible judges that have been appointed by the governor for life, then you have no chance at undoing that if there's no election.
Well, so I had this the opportunity to ask a judge this question.
Judge Burke?
Nope. It was a judge that I happened to pull his sailboat off of a sandbar down in, someplace.
Okay.
And he was an elected judge in a southern state.
Okay.
And he was a senior judge. They actually came back and did consulting work for his court.
Okay.
And, you know, he was semi-retired, basically.
Got it.
But he got a phone call right there next to us when from his office the next day, you know, basically, hey, I got to take this. And I heard him talking, and basically they were asking him questions about how to run the court.
Got it.
So he's that, you know, level of senior.
Mm-hmm.
He said, essentially, this is not an easy question. This was a very circumspect and pensive man, right? Like, he spent a lot of time thinking about these things, just sort of things generally. And, you know, I didn't agree with him by any stretch of the imagination on everything he said, but I asked him a lot of questions, and I didn't give him a lot of sort of forceful answers. I just asked questions of him. And, you know, he was happy to answer questions. We were having beer and having a nice time. I was drinking his beer, so I was asking him questions.
All right, good.
And his thought is that basically it's, you know, there's difficulties with all the systems, but the only person who's less qualified to appoint a judge than a voter is, in fact, a governor.
Less qualified.
That basically the political appointees are beholden in a certain way that he doesn't like.
That makes sense.
They're harder to get out of office.
That's right. Yeah, because they basically would have to be removed by the legislature, right?
Right. So he said, or the I think the governor's
office, the governor,
but whatever. And he says essentially, voters, although they generally do not vote a judge out of office and generally do not know that much about a judge.
That's true.
He believes that they get better choices. Now he was a judge that was elected, so there's a could quite possibly be a an amount of bias there. But I will point out that this guy's a Democrat that lives in a very red state and is elected in a red county.
Huh.
So
that's interesting.
It kind of shows that at the very least, the voters think that he's a good choice because he's, or for whatever reason, they didn't kick him out because of his party.
Right.
And I believe that these are nonpartisan elections. However, it doesn't take research to figure out that this guy's a Democrat. He's a Democrat that refused to vote for Hillary, but he was a Democrat nonetheless. And so I have, for the lack of a better opinion, adopted his. Because he had a soundbite that I liked, and his soundbite was the only person less qualified to appoint a judge than a voter is a governor. And
yeah, I mean, you could argue that there's no accountability virtually no accountability when they're appointed. And at the very least, if there were elections, then there would be some level of accountability. But
how is that different? One person puts you in versus this other person puts you in. I don't see how.
Well, the beholden thing. They're beholden to the political person who put them into office as opposed to the voters who, in theory, could make a better decision. But, we know voters are so uneducated.
I guess I should point this out, and I don't know how it works anywhere else. I'm used to judicial elections where you're effectively barred from campaigning. So you're not allowed to state. I mean, pretty much it was just like a competition of resumes. You're not allowed to state your position on anything. You're not. You're essentially not allowed to say anything other than this is my name and here's all the schools I went to.
And if people know that a judge is particularly bad, then they might vote him out.
I don't think that most people are.
If he's
in the position
abused
to
people, if he's abused like a district court
that.
Judge, well, they may not be able to assess it.
On a trial level, yes.
That's what I mean. All right, so more coming up here in moments. You can join us, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You can weigh in on this or anything you want. Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free here. Bring up anything you want. Our number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype. You can head on over and join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. But our Skype username, by the way, is lrn.fm. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You can go to victimlesscrimespree.com and you can watch the epic documentary that we put together here in our beautiful Keene, New Hampshire back in 2012 from Derek J's first year of activism when he moved up here. And now he's living out on the seacoast, and he just posted actually a fresh article over at freekeen.com that I have yet to have a chance to read. It literally was posted within the last hour over at freekeen.com. There was this event that some of the haters threw out in Portsmouth, because the haters are everywhere in New Hampshire. It's just that we know.
It was basically the Democratic Party of New Hampshire.
No, it's a group called Granite State Progress. Not
who's
the same
populated
thing.
By
mostly Democrats, I would guess, but yeah,
people who are active in the Democratic Party, though. I mean, not just
probably, yeah.
People that happen to be voters on the Democratic. So what I find strange.
It was called the Free State Project Exposed, or Exposing the Free State Project.
What I find so strange about this is that a group of people with whom, let's at least use the term liberty activists, libertarians, liberty lovers, disagree with 70% of the time, would take the time to put together a speech to essentially undermine this group and then give power presumably to the other group, the Republicans, with whom they disagree 100% of the time. I just don't understand the strategy behind it.
Well, it's simple. Free State Project, or this New Hampshire Liberty Migration, because it's much larger than the Free State Project is. There's multiple migrations going on, like with the Shire Society as well. But anyway, this New Hampshire Freedom Migration is a threat more so than the Republicans, because the Republicans ultimately, you know, there's some liberty-friendly Republicans, but generally the Republicans are also statists. You know, they believe in the state. They believe in the government. They want the government to look the way they want it to.
Currently, the Republicans are working with – in many cases, the Republicans are working with the Democrats to stop the liberty lovers that are in the state house.
Right.
And they're failing some of the
time. So you just answered your own question. They're working together to stop the libertarians.
But I wish they would say that. I wish the Democrats would have their little thing and say, look – we much prefer the enemy we know versus the enemy we don't, because the Republicans are lying about being small government, and they will work with us on a regular basis.
Right.
These liberty lovers, they hate government, and we love it.
Well, that's they're not going to show
difference.
Their cards
no,
like
they're sure
that.
Not.
They have this thing set up where, you know, they have power roughly 50% of the time, especially in a purple state. It really is a little bit closer to 50. You know, they complain about things they don't really care about to get things they do care about, and they're pretty much in line with the Republicans, and people who think about it know that, but I don't know that everybody thinks about that. If they're looking at this long term, there is a more substantial threat from people who just don't want the state to be there.
Correct. Remember the state representative out of Keene, it was back in 2012, so it's been 5 years. This is one of the state representatives in Keene at the time. I don't think she still is, but Cynthia Chase, she said the Free Staters are the single greatest threat to the state. And she is absolutely right about that. Of course, larger, the libertarians, the people who are migrating here is what she meant. These people who, they have a drive to change things, just like she did, because she migrated here as well from some other New England state.
So did the person who was putting on the Free State Project Exposed event.
Correct.
Was another Democratic operative.
She came here to take that job.
From another state in order. I mean, it's insane.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right. So do as we say, not as we do.
These stinking, slobbering hypocrites say, you can't come to our state with a political agenda. My God.
Yeah.
That's only for us.
Yeah. And so think about it. I mean, what an honor that, you know, these people are spending so much time. I really appreciate the efforts of the Granite State Progress.
So much so that you gave Cynthia Chase a bouquet of flowers, did you not?
No, I don't think I did that.
Oh, I thought
that was the city of Keene. We sent a bouquet to the city of Keene.
Okay.
We also sent them fresh strawberries from Sherry's Berries after in thanks for them bringing us millions of dollars of free press coverage for suing the Robin Hooders, which they did a few years ago. But, wow, I mean, I'm so I have such gratitude for Granite State Progress. They really do their research. Every 2 years, they always come out with a handy list of all of the Free Staters or the people they suspect of being connected to the Free Staters. So either somebody who they can confirm has moved here for the Free State Project, or somebody that's really friendly with people that they know moved here for the Free State Project, and they'll come up with a list of all the candidates who meet those qualifications. So they're giving you a Liberty Voters Guide every single year. I mean, that's not their intention. Their intention is to out the Free Staters and to, you know, help them lose their elections. But it's sort of, I think it can backfire on them, where if you're sending out mailings to people, like some of the haters have done over the years in different places, they've sent full color, full page, you know, glossy print mailers attacking the liberty activists who are running in various different places. Like, this person wants to get rid of the government schools. This person wants to lower taxes. You know, like it reads like a piece of campaign literature for those who know. You know, for those who don't want the government in their lives, this is good information. So I'm grateful for them spending thousands of dollars to promote unintentionally the campaigns of the libertarians who are running here. Now, again, they're running as Republicans and Democrats generally, which is why they feel like they have to out them and spend all this money on them to show that the true libertarian, there are snakes in the grass, these libertarians, you need to know about them, which is what this presentation was about. And Derek Jay gets into great detail. This is a very long, detailed article that he posted about this seminar that they were having, basically.
See, and if they go through all that work to do that, how did he manage to even get in the room?
Well, it was open to anybody who wanted to attend.
Right.
And at the time, he had been attending Democratic meetings as Derek Horton. So he was using his legal name attending the Democratic Party meetings. So he had worked his way into the internals of the Democratic Party. And personally, I don't think he should have outed himself, but he felt like it was the right time, and I think he gets into that. He told me that he was going to get into it in the article as to why he chose to sort of come out of the closet as a libertarian.
Right, but it's not like he was hiding before. I mean, if
he was hiding wasn't in the closet.
Right, but if...
He wasn't hiding as Derek Freeman.
He kicked the closet door open and ran down the street in a tutu.
If these people are spending so much time to go through and be like, this legislator spent time with this other legislator that we think is an FSP member, you would think that they would recognize the main, you know, I mean, come on.
He was living on the seacoast, and so they may not have known him as much as he might have been known out here if he were still living in Keene, because his victimless crime spree happened here. Not over on
the internet. It happened on
the
internet too, though.
True.
It's kind of the thing.
I get what you're saying, but you know, apparently they were shocked because when he stood up, he told me this. Maybe he put it in the article again. It just came out. I haven't read it, but he said that when he stood up, because there was a part at which the presenter on the stage invited she acknowledged that she knew that Free Staters, so called, were in the audience and invited them to stand up and, you know, reveal themselves. So several of them did, including Derek and his boyfriend Steven. And I guess they were sitting right next to one of the main Democratic Party, you know, boss men out in the seacoast. And apparently this woman gasped. You know, like she was sitting right next to one of these Free Staters the whole time and she didn't even know it. So he just felt like it was the right time to do that, apparently. So again, if you want to get the details, he's got it down here. He's got an audio, like an hour and a half long audio, a recording of what happened there. He's got screenshots from the slides that they have here. What is the Free State Project? The FSP participant guidelines, the statement of intent, Pork Manor, apparently, is something that they are reporting on. What's Pork Manor? It's a website that's, I think, kind of outdated at this point. But the idea was this was a place where liberty activists could advertise a room that they might have for rent in their house or
proving
house.
Proving that they're helping each other move. As though the Democratic Party, when, elections going on, don't bring a bunch of, college kids here to run around and knock on doors for their candidates.
So he says that this
only
was...
Only we're allowed to do that.
She says this was Derek says this was 45 minutes of slander and lies by Zandra Rice Hawkins, the propagandist with Granite State Progress. At some point, they put up other FSP endeavors and then a bunch of logos like Cop Block, which has nothing to do with the Free State Project.
It was put together by two Free State Project signers.
Yeah, but it wasn't the Free State Project who created that. The Free State Project...
They don't see it that way,
right? I understand they don't, because they believe everything is this top-down command and control system of organization, which is, of course, what their system is, where one person's in charge, and they've got their underlings, and they've got their underlings, and it doesn't work that way. The Liberty Movement here in New Hampshire, this freedom migration, there is a Free State Project, but all they do is they put together Pork Fest and the Liberty Forum and make bad decisions about managing their organization from time to time. I mean, that's pretty much all they do. They don't control what the Free Staters do, or certainly for that matter, the Shire Society people, the other people who migrate here. There's no level of control over what these people do. Anyway, I'm looking forward to reading the article. It's up right now over at freekeen.com. We'll see you tomorrow night.
If you want to move to the Free State and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the realtor, Mark Ward.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com